If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. Perception versus the truth. Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
You know, I talked the socks up yesterday, but just saw the ball cap in the clip. What are you guys waiting for? Let's overnight it so I can wear it on the show, kick up the socks, and really jam out to TNT. Red pill, blue pill, black pill, no pill. So, as a lot of you know, I do a ton of interviews in a day. Not only on this show, but I interview other people on my other show. I go on other shows and do interviews. And really, when they're in depth, there's these buzz terms regarding pills. And I got to tell you, I hate them. I try not to use them. I know that it's extremely ironic because my final guest of the program is going to be Zach Payne, aka Red Pill 78, and I like Zach. In fact, I think Zach does extremely good work, and he is really based in reality. I think he leans a little bit politically into the mainstream conservative arena, but he is consistently anti-war, he is consistently not trusting any plans, and he is consistently not buying into hopium, which I think is very important. So I want to take a journey back into a place called the 90s, a wonderful time that I'm quite fond of, despite the fact that I couldn't wait to get out of my house and graduate high school. And when I say a wonderful time, there was just so much of an explosion of different art forms that we hadn't seen in different formats. And one of the big explosions was special effects in movies, right? People were blown away, including myself, via Jurassic Park, a true game changer. It kind of showed through computer graphics that are now just like commonplace that anything was going to be possible. And you were going to be able to see worlds that could never have been done through traditional sets, no matter how like amazing Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey is, and it holds up, by the way, incomparable to some of the things that we've seen with modern day CGI. So we get to 1999. Again, what a time. Woodstock 99, the Cold War is over, the economy is booming, and we get The Matrix, right? And I remember watching it in the theater. It was a cultural phenomenon. And it introduced us to this idea of red pill, bro, or blue pill. And if you took the blue pill, you kind of stayed in this artificial reality, which was much more comfortable than the real world. But if you wanted to face that real world and see what it was like, you took the red pill. And so this like pop culture term was born. Now, I remember when it started getting associated with alternative media almost instantly. David Icke, for instance, actually wrote a book called Children of the Matrix, and in his books even talked about this relationship of the movie to reality. I remember working for InfoWars early on and that terminology being utilized, but I never liked it because when you chose the colors red and blue, number one, take a look at the American flag. Pretty predominant with the Americana, but then it also split it up into that two-party system, right and left, liberal, conservative, blah, blah, blah. To me, a whole bunch of Johnny nonsense and not where I wanted to go. Now, much later on, all right, outside of red-pilling someone, you red-pilled, bro, and then again, you go into like this alternative right-wing, pseudo-conservative realm that I just can't be a part of. I started hearing just before COVID-1984 when I would go on programs. Every once in a while, I hear the term black-pilled. I was too black-pilled. It's all very black-pilling stuff. And I was like, what does that exactly mean? And they like to say that like means that there's no hope out there. You know, everything is predetermined. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to tell you what's really going on, okay? It's not a pill, it's not red, it's not blue, it's not rainbow colored or black. It's the truth. And the truth is you've got to navigate the realities surrounding you. So I try to get past the pill stuff. I can't stand the term woke when it's used ironically, unironically, or anytime whatsoever. I got to tell you, when I have people on my other broadcast, a lot of them have written books with woke in the title or like to use the term woke. And I just, every time in my head, I just sigh, I go, Johnny Nonsense. But you know what's not Johnny Nonsense? Following TNT across the board, across social media, where we are trying to get the word out. You'll never see me hashtag something pill or be on some kind of cool train, because look, reality is reality. It is based somewhere in that center marker that doesn't play team baseball, because corruption in politics, in government, in the corporate world, and in life in general is real, and it happens. It happens through power, and it happens to everybody. It doesn't matter who you vote for or what political party you're aligned with. So keep that in mind. Follow us across the board. And how about supporting a media organization that what? Doesn't take sides, isn't your Fox News or your MSNBC, does tell it down the line with a small donation. 5, 10, 15 bucks means the world to us. Big donations support TNT so we can thrive and not just survive. We're going to take a break. We're going to hit the headlines with Adam Clark and bring the ruckus back after this with more TNT.
Delivering the facts.
Source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT.
On Tuesday, Israeli authorities brazenly confiscated camera equipment belonging to the Associated Press before swiftly reversing course after facing widespread criticism. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. What say you, Adam? I say they're lucky they didn't get shot in the face, because this is war. Israel is always right. And if they report the truth, they could cause World War III. Shame on the Associated Press, Adam.
I don't think that necessarily, Jason, that the Associated Press was the intended target. We will call them collateral damage, victim by proxy. I don't know. This is all related to Al Jazeera, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. That was the premise for doing this. I was shocked when I heard this news today. I literally said to my TV, because it was reported on some mainstream network I caught it on, and I was like, this isn't real. That didn't happen. There's no way. Because the headline said that the Israel just seized equipment from the Associated Press. And I'm like, dude, no, that's not going to fly. Sure enough, they changed their mind after just hours of the decision because of all the backlash. So, but until they changed their mind, that was the news this morning. The fact that Israeli officials had seized this camera, broadcasting equipment. This was today, Tuesday. They accused the news organization of violating a new media law, which was set up pretty much exclusively all in the name of anti-Al Jazeera. The AP, Associated Press, reported that its camera equipment was set up in the town of Sidarat, overlooking the Gaza border. This was to broadcast live stream footage of the enclave, I always say that wrong, which Israel has, of course, been bombing for 7 months now. Tel Aviv recently passed a law which specifically banned Al Jazeera from operating in Israel. Israeli officials cited the Qatari satellite channel's subscription to the AP live feed as a violation of the new law. So just because Al Jazeera was accessing the feed from AP, Israel said, you can't do that. Al Jazeera is among thousands of media companies that receive this live video feeds from the AP and other news organizations. Anyways, the AP, of course, condemned Israel's confiscation of the equipment. Lauren Easton, vice president of corporate communications at the news organization, said, quote, "The Associated Press decries in the strongest terms the actions of the Israeli government to shut down our longstanding live feed showing a view into Gaza and seize AP equipment," end quote. Let's see. Oh, Easton added that, quote, "The shutdown was not based on the context of the feed, but rather an abusive use by the Israeli government of the country's new foreign broadcaster law. We urge the Israeli authorities to return our equipment and enable us to reinstate our live feed immediately so we can continue to provide this important visual journalism to thousands of media outlets around the world," end quote. The officials were from the Communications Ministry. They seized the equipment on Tuesday afternoon following an order signed by one Communications Minister, Shlomo Karhi, who hours later changed his mind. After the seizing of the equipment, the Biden administration, journalism organizations, even an Israeli opposition leader condemned the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and pressured it to reverse the decision. Therefore, as of now, not that long ago, Israel's communications minister, the aforementioned Karhi, said on the social platform X, formerly known as Twitter, quote, "I have now ordered to cancel the action and return the equipment to the AP," end quote. I don't think the seizure lasted very long. I'm not sure how far it got. It's a good thing they didn't take it out into a field and give it the office space treatment like they did to that poor printer. But I guess last week they had demanded that AP ceased the live transmission, and AP said, screw you. And here we are, Jason. So what say you about this report?
Well, I got to tell you, I wonder if there was really confusion. I think they want to see how far they can push this thing. And really, it doesn't really matter, right? The camera should be there no matter what entity it is. The absurdity that Al Jazeera can't be there is one of the issues here. But the other issue is, even it not being Al Jazeera, they don't want the cameras there. And there's a reason they don't want the cameras there. It's because it's showing the world what's actually going on. And it really upsets me because, you know, like, before this, I'm scrolling through the news feeds and the social media feeds to see what's up. And the Babylon Bee, you know, like, before this, I'm scrolling through the news feeds and the social media feeds to see what's up. And the Babylon Bee, that's usually pretty good, right? They've got another sketch where Satan is the main protagonist and he's talking to the Democrats. And, you know, for like 80% of it, they kind of nail it. But then there's the one pro-Palestinian protester, but like he's not just a pro, he wants to kill all the Jews and annihilate Israel. And that's repeated again and again and again. No, I don't like seeing dead kids in my feed. You know how many dead kids I saw in my feed today, Adam? That's not hyperbole, that's not a joke, I actually counted it. Now, again, this is just a quick scroll where hopefully as I see their dead bodies, I don't have to see their faces. Sometimes you have to see their faces. I saw 5 dead kids today. 5. You know how many dead kids I want to see on a daily basis? It's 0. All right. So until we get to that point, there has to be some kind of criticism. And look, you know, the press clearly still has not done their job in the Middle East. They have not done their job overseas. The Associated Press, to their credit, Reuters, to their credit, they are far from perfect, but they're usually news aggregates. In other words, they are there to distribute that feed to other outlets at a certain price, sometimes in its rawest form, right? And let people do what they wish with it. That's what we need. We need raw feeds. We need raw feeds 24/7. I've always said this. The more that you can have source material that is unedited and distributed to the people, the more likely you are to have an informed and active populace, and therefore some type of accountability of your government. Maybe not criminally, but maybe in the court of public opinion, so real change can happen, Adam.
Oh, I would agree 100%. I'm just really saddened that, I mean, like, don't you folks, don't believe for a second that Israel would not just keep this equipment if it weren't for the fact that there was so much pushback. In fact, they would probably not care about any of the pushback except the ones, the pushback that came from the U.S. government is my suggestion here. Otherwise, they don't care. They're just going to do whatever they want. They just went ahead and did it. They knew what people, how people were going to react. They know how this looks, and they just did it anyway. And they were happy to do it until somebody caught them and said, no, hold on, you can't do that. And they're like, okay, we're bad. They keep pushing the envelope. And it's not just Israel. It's any tyrannical government, any dictator wannabe, even our own government, Jason. So sometimes I see like the Biden administration coming out playing themselves off as the hero so that they don't look so bad for all the crimes that they're committing constantly.
Well, on top of that, I don't know if you've seen the new Project Veritas tapes. I think it's Veritas and not O'Keefe. I always forget because they broke up, but I'm pretty sure it's Veritas. And they've got this guy talking about the Palestinian issue and how the Biden administration just can't get involved because it's an election year. It's the same thing I heard from Vivek Ramaswamy's people when I brought it up to them in person when he came to Iowa. No one wants to touch this issue. That's grotesque. And again, we're doing ourselves no favors when guys like Xi Jinping that are talking about a two-state solution and the 1967 lines that were originally drawn are obviously going to appeal to the young people and the protesters and the ones that don't like that. And then what? You're going to be able to associate those protesters not just with people that hate the Jews and want to destroy Israel, but they love the dirty communists. And all of those things are already narratives that those in some of the biggest conservative media out there are trying to project on the public. We're in an S storm here, my friend, and I can only hope that it doesn't get worse. I hope that there are more brave journalists that are willing to stand up and speak out, because I was kind of being funny in the beginning of that, but quite frankly, the IDF, Israel, doesn't have the best record with journalists in the first place, as they have murdered several on camera over the last few years. That's another reality that people don't want to speak about. Adam, we will see you in the second hour. We're going to take a break here. We got Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance coming up. We're going to be talking Klaus Nutschwab. If you haven't heard, he's stepping down as the chair of the World Economic Forum. What does that mean? And much more with Derek Brose after this.
TNT's Dirk Pohlman.
In America, growing up, there was always such a gap in kind of our historical knowledge, because if you look at our sources of information, it was always the Germans. All of this information that we were taught as Americans comes from the Germans. A lot of it comes from Franz Halder and people like that who wrote after the war.
Yeah, then we have to explain Franz Halder had been, that is a very interesting story in the beginning. Franz Halder had been the chief of staff of the German armed forces. He was planning the war against the Soviet Union. And he is responsible for the atrocities, because he published these orders which declared that the civilian population would have to be treated not according to the Geneva Convention, that the Russian soldiers, the Soviet soldiers, should not be treated according to that. So the war of extermination, which it was, he was the architect of that.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Honoring. Protecting. Caring. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
Many pollution sources can affect the air you breathe, from power plants and vehicles to dust and wildfires. Knowing more about local air quality can help you protect your health. If you're thinking about buying an air sensor, EPA has a series of videos to help you get the most out of it. Learn how EPA collects and uses regulatory data, how EPA communicates health messaging, and how to interpret the readings from your sensor. Visit epa.gov/air-sensor-toolbox.
Listen. Listen up!
Now listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
He is on the road doing his investigative journalism thing. He is the conscious resistant. Derek Brose is with us, and we're going to be getting into fluoride and some other stories in a bit. But the big news of the day is that Klaus Schwab, at the spry age of 86, is stepping down as the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, essentially the face of the forum. He will still be a chairman, but they have not decided or put out who will be the next executive chairman. Now, this is on the heels of the Bilderberg meeting, which is about to take place in a couple weeks now in Madrid, Spain. We know a lot of the power players in the globalist arena are going to be there. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is where they may be choosing the successor to Schwab? And after all of the negative press surrounding Schwab, I feel like they're going to want a rebranding. You know, they may not want the outward Bond villain. They may want like the secret twist Bond villain that you think is the ally midway through the movie, and it's only at that very end that you found out that he is the bad dude. What are your thoughts, Derek?
Well, first of all, I think you're correct, Jason, that there might be some connection here between the coming Bilderberg meeting and whoever they do choose, because folks who know the long-term history, you know that the two groups are deeply tied together, namely through Henry Kissinger, who's no longer with us, but he, you know, was a major part of both these organizations. And the founding of the World Economic Forum is, you know, directly connected to, as we talked about in recent weeks, the Club of Rome, Kissinger, et cetera. So it would make sense if that's something that's on their agenda, especially as this announcement is just happening. I wouldn't be surprised if they choose a woman just for the sake of diversity. And, you know, I mean, maybe that's too far for that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did choose a woman. And like you said, sort of a rebranding of their whole organization. There is the president. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. I believe he's Danish or Swedish, and he's been stepping more into the limelight as well. So it could just be that, you know, that he's the next successor or whatever. And Schwab kind of, from what I was reading online about it, they're saying that the announcement is that he's stepping into a different type of chairman position, not going to be the executive chairman, but just more of an advisor. And I imagine we're going to see him as still involved in it pretty heavily till, you know, he leaves this earth. He clearly is not going to be the face anymore. And that might be one of the topics that's going to be on the agenda for Bilderberg, amongst other things like the U.S. election and things like that.
So let's talk about that, because usually in election year, it is in the United States. Now, it does seem like the evidence is out that it will be in Madrid, Spain. What are your thoughts on the location itself? Do you think that's to kind of stay away from the United States politics, in the sense that there's so much chaos going on? Maybe there's already a plan in the bag.
I think there is a plan in the bag. I mean, definitely in terms of the U.S. election, I have a hard time trusting anything that's coming out of that. In terms of why they wouldn't choose to do it in the United States, it could be to put some distance from, you know, to make it seem like the groups like the Bilderberg aren't having a role. Because one thing about the WEF Bilderberg connection is WEF has stepped more into the limelight in recent years, and less people paying attention to Bilderberg, it seems, except for people like myself, yourself, Dan Dix, others who've been at this for a while and who've been following the group. Many people who say woke up in the last couple of years and only know about the World Economic Forum may have never heard about the Bilderberg Group. It might not know the history, their connections to royalty, and they might not even know that, hey, they didn't used to have a website. They used to be a lot more secretive. We didn't have all this public face that they have now. That's totally a new development, as you know, Jason. And so, you know, it could just be a strategic move to kind of continue that staying out of the limelight instead of being in the U.S., where people like us might want to go visit them and make it easier to, you know, find out who's there. They're going somewhere that's a little bit more remote. And I'm sure there'll be some Spanish activists out there. I know Dan's planning on going there. But for the most part, people aren't going to be traveling to Spain to confront them and find out who they are. And that might be strategic.
You know, I'd have to agree with you that especially in the election year and even the prominence of Alex Jones, if it were in the United States and Alex promoted it for a couple weeks, you would see a few hundred minimum and maybe a few thousand turnout. And let's be honest, when we look at what's going down in Spain, we'll be lucky to see 50 to 100 people in total. I know that mainstream journalist Charlie Skelton always does a great job, and I think he has the beat on it to be in Madrid, Spain. I'm going to be in contact with him shortly. Who do you expect in the younger circles to be there? In recent years, we have seen Jared Kushner. I'd have to say, especially with the conflicts in Israel and what's going on with his father-in-law, he would be a no-brainer to be there this year. Sam Altman had his first time as a Bilderberg member last year. I think that he is also kind of a no-brainer to be there this year. Who else do you think is going to be on the table to be at Bilderberg? It looks like we may have lost Derek. It seems that he has frozen up. That's okay. I do want to talk a little bit more about Bilderberg. Hopefully we're going to come back with him, because when you look at Jared Kushner, he's somebody that is heavily involved in not only Israeli policies, but also really within his father's camp or father-in-law's campaigns and administration. These are really important things. He went the year before the COVID-1984 nightmare. When you look at Altman and OpenAI and not only GPT 4.0, hello and where we are, but what's being said about GPT 5, he is also a no-brainer. OpenAI's partnership with Microsoft, Microsoft always represented at Bilderberg as well. So these are the people that I see being there. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hit the headlines. Hopefully we're going to get Derek back, and we're actually going to be talking about fluoride being the new anti-vax. More TNT after this.
Question. Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Georgia is conducting general primaries and judicial elections, spotlighting key races influenced by divisive national issues like former President Donald Trump and abortion. Former President Donald Trump's defense team has rested their case in the New York business records trial, with closing arguments scheduled for Tuesday, May 28, 2024. A recent study published in Cell Metabolism suggests that avoiding foods rich in the amino acids serine and glutamine could enhance the effectiveness of treatments for pulmonary hypertension.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Unfortunately, we lost Derek Brose, but that's okay, because we got our next guest a little bit early. You know him for the big laughs over here at TNT. He's out of California. Mike Netter is with us. And Mike, I know you love the great state of California, but it has set yet another great record, really putting it on the map, spending the Bucco big time bucks via lobbying. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of the lobbying that goes on, some good, some bad, but the reality is this, that no state has organizations spend more on lobbying than California. Shocking, really, is what some of the lobbying is spent on. So when you look at some of the organizations, the top 10 that spend, it's always on for a record pace. And I want to quite diversion from this for a little bit, because when you talk about lobbying, how the lobbying dollars are spent, it's important to understand it's got to do with transparency, which is an incredibly dirty word when it comes to government. They don't like words like transparency. They don't like words like having to show, what do you mean, what we're actually doing? But they're required, the organizations, to report the official lobbying dollars. Now, oddly enough, on the top 10 list, and we're not going to have time to go down the top 10. I feel like Casey Kasem back in the day. We'll kind of warm it up here a little bit. We've got Pacific Gas and Electric, a utility who, if you're living in the area, you're kind of forced to use them if you like electricity. Now, they spend about $1 million some odd so far this year, so they can get approval, yes, indeed, to get their rates raised by about 25%. That's actually a really good investment on PG&E's part. But what I want to explain to everybody, that PG&E not only spends money on lobbying, it's kind of like distributing to the legislature to keep the tiny politicians happy. For in Gavin Newsom's case, is he gives what's called not only donations to his campaign, but are you familiar, Jason, with the term behested payments?
I am not.
Okay, let's cover that a little bit, because lobbying is direct money that they spend on the minor people on the legislature. In other words, that's what we're going to do. We're going to buy you dinner so we don't bust your kneecaps. Vote yes. Well, they don't exactly talk like this, allegedly. Behested payments mean that at the behest of the governor or an official, they say, we've already contributed enough to your campaign, so we're going to take to the tune of $10, $20 million in PG&E's case and contribute at your behest to your favorite charity. In Gavin Newsom's case, it happens to be a charity that his wife is the president and CEO of, where she's making Gavin being governor of California. So when you see articles like we're talking about lobbying, the press really should be tying them together with what these organizations contribute in total to gain the influence of government. Now, in the top group, we have groups like the oil companies, where they contribute a fraction, $3-4 million, to try to battle things like, being liable for somebody moving in next to an oil pump and they catch cancer 24 years, 40 years later. But PG&E lobbies to increase their rates, which affects every Californian. But wait, there's more. Two of the other top groups are the SEIU, yes, indeed, the Service Employees Union, which represents about 240,000 employees by the state of California. So they're actually lobbying to the state to get the pay up so they could take more of your taxpayers' money. Stay in tune with that. And then you have, of course, the teachers union, which isn't lobbying for better education, but they've lobbied in favor of over 203 bills, which is about 20% of the bills that California passed annually. So these are self-serving unions funded by our taxpayer dollars that are actually going in this case to make sure that we, the taxpayers, spend more. It's kind of a conflict of interest, but it also doesn't take into account the money that these organizations give to NGOs, which is a popular word for nonprofits today, to at the behest of governor and other major state officials, so they can actually fund, and this is legal, charities that their relatives work for. And by the way, in Gavin Newsom's case, his wife makes films, sells them back to the schools, which the teachers union lobbies that they should be able to buy. So Gavin makes a lot of money being governor of California, and so does his family and friends.
And I want to assume the vast majority of that money is tax-free when we're talking about NGOs, and there are tax breaks when they're making these so-called donations at their behest. We got to take a break in a minute, but I want to break down modern-day lobbying. Because it's one of the things that I've railed against for the better part of almost two decades now. You know, we used to have lobbying on behalf of organizations and equal time. It was really during the Roger Stone era, and I actually challenged Roger on this. He always says, look, I think that money is speech. I don't necessarily agree with that, because look at the system we have. We have these corrupt NGOs, we have representatives of large corporations, and then we have the collusion with government officials, which are really all out in the open and can be paid for. Traditionally, lobbies were there for constituents to gather up in groups and what? Hold those they elect accountable. It's the complete inverse of that system, but we're going to get your take in a minute. We're going to take that break. More with Mike Netter after this. It's TNT Radio.
When I had my heart event close to 4 years ago, I was at the gym. thought, I deserve a coffee, and thought, I'll top up with fuel. Ordered a coffee, but while I was pumping fuel, I started to get chest pains. Then it got worse and worse and worse. So then I was leaning on the counter thinking, yeah, something's not quite right. So then I went to wait for the coffee, and that's when it really, really hit. And Joy just, you know, mouthed, do you need an ambulance? And I remember nodding. I wasn't even thinking about a heart attack. I just thought, something is seriously wrong with me here. So when the cardiologist came to see me, she informed me that I'd had what they call a widowmaker heart attack. Bit of a shock when someone says, you know, you nearly died. Everybody should be aware of all the symptoms of a heart attack that women can have that aren't typical of the shoulder pain, the right arm pain. I go to the gym, I do yoga, Pilates, I swim, I go on bike rides, and yet I still had a heart attack. You just don't know, it could be you.
My character Shazam knows all about growing up in a family full of teenage superheroes. They're bold.
Where's everyone going?
To fight crime.
Okay.
Adventurous. Shazam! There's never a dull moment. And no matter what happens, they'll always have your back. All they need is a place to grow and be themselves. And the best part is, you don't have to be a superhero to adopt a teen. Learn more about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward.
Disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Verma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Now, once upon a time in this country, we had what was known as a constitutional republic with checks and balances. And part of those checks and balances, that it was a government of and for the people. And you would actually have to face your constituents. So these original groups would go to their mayor, their senators, their congressmen, and meet and say, hey, we don't like this policy. These are the type of signatures we have. We're going to vote against you, et cetera, et cetera. That is the complete opposite system of what we have right now. There is no access for the little guy or any of these groups that have not been empowered with millions and sometimes billions of dollars. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, let's take a step back in history, Jason, to back up your point here. And by the way, this is so I'm told. I don't remember the 1700s and 1880s, but I did meet their kids. Used to be, believe it or not, you could walk right into the White House and wait outside the president's office. You could walk into Congress and literally walk right in. And it's funny when we talk about January 6th to kind of go down a slight offset here, or rabbit holes, we like to say, people used to have access to indeed their state legislature, the White House, and Congress itself. They could go in, they could write the president a letter, they could actually wait in line to visit the president of the United States. I realize time has changed. But yes, the trouble with lobbying, as we call it today, it's really buying access. I'm a little bit blessed and lucky here because the recall that we started with Gavin Newsom, because it was against the infrastructure, as we call it, on both sides, gives me access to some politicians. I have people call me all the time and say, hey, can you get through on this issue? But most people don't have that kind of access. We have big firms taking people out to dinner. We have big firms arranging meetings. It's hard to get meetings even with the state legislature in California, even though I know some of them personally, where lobbyists are able to, quote, buy their way in. And this is another shocking thing for the right versus the left. Are you ready, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Many people actually laid on me, Mike. Have jobs. Yes, indeed, they have jobs, and they can't afford to go up and sit in the Capitol all day long, either in the federal or the state. They don't have the ability to actually get through to a politician. And those politicians, especially on the federal level, spend most of their time raising money. Yes, indeed, they're calling those same people that are spending lobbying dollars like Chevron Oil and Pacific Gas and Electric, trying to wrangle up donations for their favorite cause versus what we really should have is say, look, you should spend X amount of your time talking to your constituents or the so-called man on the streets. You're absolutely right. Lobbying, because there's no real cap on it. Behested payments and everything else have put no cap on what organizations can spend on access to government. And here's another scary thought for you when it comes to California, Jason. We have a governor who, by his own admission, has dyslexia. Let's take a step back. What does that mean? He can't read very well or at all. Really think about that. We have a governor who can't sit like a Ronald Reagan or a president. We'll leave Biden out of it because I'm not sure Biden can read anymore, and actually read things. That means most of the information that they get is told to them by somebody, that is given to them verbally or fed to them. And much of that is by lobbyists and by staffers who are influenced by the lobbyists themselves. So we have no test. We have no competency test for these people to be in office. And the normal people on the street have absolutely no access to government. In fact, I don't even know, as much as I beat up Gavin Newsom, that he even knows what was just in his budget, which is a shaft to small business because of what just said. He just said he's not raising taxes, yet he slipped in on any business with revenues over $1 million in California for the next 2 to 3 years, tax increases of $18 billion. In Gavin's defense, he may have not even read that. That means that people slip that in, and it's up to certain groups to have to pay attention. It's sad, Jason. We literally don't have access to our own government anymore.
And, you know, you also mentioned kind of the quid pro quo of the fact that you have these institutions that are related to the politician at the time that have the donations put to their NGOs that are tax free. But one of the other things that we have seen time and time again is politicians who set policies on behalf of these organizations resign from Congress or the Senate and then have a cushy executive position within those organizations, whether they're corporations or NGOs. That's a whole nother side to the coin, is it not?
Well, it's interesting because I used to work, shall we say, with the federal government. And technically, when you work with the federal government, when I worked with an employee for the federal government, they are not supposed to take a job with someone that they've interfaced with for at least 12 months. However, these politicians announced, Loretta Gonzalez announced, I'm resigning from the assembly and taking a job as president of the SEIU in California, who's on that list is about the eighth or ninth biggest lobbyist. And she did it immediately. I don't even know that she had the weekend off. Not that she works that hard. So how come the lowly federal contractor and state employee has to go without a job for 12 months, but politicians ignore that law, although technically they are employees of the state and the feds?
So let's move on, and I'm going to give you a big golf clap here. You guys did it. California. No COVID deaths today, huh? Or was it yesterday? You finally, not one in the whole state of California. Is the COVID 1984 nightmare officially over in the state? Or is this some kind of a bait and a switch? What were your thoughts on this headline?
Well, let me go officially on record. I told you before the show, and this is going to be a controversial position, Jason, but I'm a CR and TNT. I'm against death. I'm against death of any type, especially my own. And I, you know, at my age, I go in for a physical, and I'm happy when I go in for a physical every year. And the doctor's office is surprised, and they say, "Why?" I said, "Because you know what? I would way much prefer to be here for a physical versus an autopsy. Because when they do an autopsy on me, they find out why I died, but it isn't much help to me. Look, the reality is this, that we don't have COVID deaths because the money ran out. Okay, it's really simple. The money has run out and they're not getting money for reporting COVID deaths anymore. But the article that you're referring to, reported by The Mercury News, I believe out of San Jose or wherever that up in the Bay Area, not exactly a bastion of right-wing politics. In case you don't know, this literally put out an article about a year ago that said, we're very confused. Since 2020, deaths in California are up 20%. And this is their headline. And they go on because we have less people dying allegedly of COVID now, but more people dying suddenly, as the meme always says, of other things. Of course, who knows why that's happening? No idea. Just a coincidence, of course, that heart disease is up, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, that people like Scott Wiener are trying to keep bars open longer so more people die in wrecks because don't drink and drive, folks. The reality is, as COVID money runs out, they won't be reporting COVID deaths. Isn't that funny? And by the way, that COVID money needs to be declared by about this June. And here we are in May, because that's how the budgets run. And suddenly we have a day with no COVID deaths. Now, there are about 39.5 million people, a little less today because they move out every day, in California. And how weird is that? That of all these people growing to 90 years old, 99 years old, 87, we have a day where no one died of COVID. You know what we've never had a day of, Jason?
What's that?
No one dying of the flu. They're literally, I looked this up. There's been, and you start to wonder, well, that's fascinating.
Well, let me challenge you on that, Mike. Let me challenge you on that just for a second, because NPR put out there, and I believe it was February of 2021, that the flu had officially disappeared, essentially. And normally they had 400,000 hospitalizations per year. And up until that point, they only had 139 hospitalizations. I also have Anthony Fauci on record when he was being confronted by that very intelligent African-American gentleman in the city that told him his campaign was a campaign of fear. He started going, well, do you know how many people die of the flu every year? And he goes, I know it's a lot. And he goes, well, you know, actually, almost nobody died of the flu last year. And we have World Health Organization officials also saying that the flu essentially disappeared from both the northern and southern hemisphere of the planet for that year of the COVID explosion. Hand to God, can't make it up. I'm not saying they told the truth.
No, but it's interesting the way that you phrased it, to stop you, yes, for 1 second here.
Yes.
Because, yes, we can go into reclassification statistically. Remember, I'm a math guy at heart, Jason, okay? But the key word, even Fauci said, is almost. Mm-hmm. Almost. So, and again, let's be really clear. When I die, it's good for them to find out what I died of, but it doesn't do me much good. Can we agree on that?
It's probably not going to help you out that great. No. Yes.
Okay.
It's probably over. Yes.
Okay. It's over. It's done. I'm still dead. Okay. So how they classify me at the end of the day really doesn't matter. Okay. Let's put that down for a second. But the key word here is almost. Yes, indeed. Almost no one, as we drive a disease down, dies of something. But now, isn't it weird that zero, we started off this conversation, no one died of COVID. Not almost nobody, but nobody. Isn't that rather strange? And here's what I also find rather bizarre. If no one died of COVID, then why are they still advertising for me to take the COVID vaccine? I have not seen any ads recently that I should get insurance about being killed by a buggy whip for a horse. And that's probably because we don't use them very often. So I'm trying to gather why they're still advertising for a vaccine if no one is dying from it. Look, let's face it. When you're dead, you're dead. But the bizarre part is, deaths are up. This has been documented six ways from Sunday, okay? More people are dying. The left wants to declare a victory because they really need one all the time, and they have to declare their right. So I found it rather bizarre when I saw the article today. You know what else happened today, Jason?
Tell me.
No one in California died from smallpox. No one in California that I know of was killed by an alien from another planet. That just didn't no one even claimed that today. There's a lot of things today in California that no one died of. So, but we don't know for sure. And by the way, that's another bizarre fact, because if someone dies, you don't instant, unless they have, sorry to be, I'm not trying to be morbid for you TNT people, unless they die by, let's say, a piano dropping from their head. And by the way, I miss that kind of death. Pianos don't drop from upper stories anymore. There are some politicians and lobbyists that I think should stand somewhere in New York, and we should hire some piano movers, allegedly. But let's put that down, okay? How do they know that? Because if you die actually of the flu, of COVID, or pneumonia, it takes around 48 to 72 hours at best to get an autopsy in. So how do they really know that? Doesn't it strike you as a little bizarre? But they have to declare it in an article, don't they?
Well, I also think that they're kind of on the apology / acknowledgement tour within the mainstream media complex, right? Chris Cuomo is going around and he's allowed to talk about ivermectin, and Andrew Cuomo's out there saying, I didn't make anybody do anything. I couldn't even make you wear a mask. Anthony Fauci, nobody made you take a shot. Oh yeah, no, it looks like there might be some problems. We're going to pull the AstraZeneca shot. Oh, you know, you mentioned all death mortality has gone up. That's like one of the few things that the mainstream has not acknowledged, and I think that they're going to stay away from, because now they just kind of get to hit the peripheral issues on this apology tour. I think it's part of the campaign strategy running up to the 2024 election, and kind of being a mouthpiece, if you will, for vote for Joe Biden still, for some reason. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
No, here's my thoughts on it. They want to say, look, we solved it. Okay, and we might have screwed up when we do it. So when we want to invent another crisis, look, we already know, what is it? The World Health Organization has come up with disease X. I mean, seriously, they're worried about a disease we haven't even invented yet. But as you know, the World Health Organization, what they want to do is invent the next crisis so they could say, look, we had a day, we solved it. Finally, this day on the 21st in 2024, no one died of COVID. So when the next thing comes along that was a manufactured crisis, depending on what you determine a crisis, we are going to be able to say, look, you should follow us, because here we have our anecdotal evidence that we've solved it. Look, Jason, we're coming to the end here, and I want to say again that lobbyists will continue to lobby against many things for and against. Things in common that we have to unite on are things we're against: death, for water, lower prices, less crime, let's seal our borders. I didn't have a chance to go into measles in Chicago, by the way, because measles is making a comeback, all being spread, by the way, from an illegal alien center in Chicago that they brought over our border. I don't see that getting a lot of pub right now. Measles is making a comeback. Maybe they're preparing us for the next crisis. But I represent Rebuild California. We are the group that's trying to keep people united against basically common sense things. Yes, we're conservative. But again, we're also for the things that not only keep you from dying, but make you want to live a really good life. RebuildCalifornia.com. Also follow me at NetterMike on Twitter. Sign up for my newsletter, because we have good stories 3 to 4 times a week that are worth taking a look at that only get reported on TNT and other things that are, quote, off the big screen. Jason, thank you for having me on today. I look forward to coming back.
Thank you, Mr. Netter. A pleasure as always, folks. We're going to take a break, head into the second hour. You're not going to want to miss it. Jam-packed as always, more TNT after this.